are listening to the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Community Radio. I'm Lou Gall, and I'm here with Kath Adams. I'm doing a project for a CMC Psychology of Leadership class taught by Adele Kraft. It's a really wonderful, wonderful class. And we're here today to talk about the mental health crisis amongst our youth and the rise in drug usage, and just sort of what that means. So essentially, in recent times, there has been a rise in mental health issues amongst the youth. Globally, 1 in 7 10 to 19-year-olds experience a mental disorder, accounting for about 15% of the global burden for disease in this age group. Suicide is the third leading cause of death amongst these young people. And consequences of failing to address adolescents' mental health conditions extend into adulthood and end up impairing them later in life. However, this isn't necessarily the teen's fault. And a lot of the time, we tend to put a lot of burden on those suffering mentally, especially adolescents suffering mentally, when in reality, in recent times, there has been an uprising in just a sense of dread due to many political burdens, to even things such as the Israeli and Palestinian war. Even here in Carbondale, Colorado, we feel a lot of the burdens of just the general horrific events happening in our time. And politics also contribute to this, and having an understanding of what politics are and having an understanding of how they affect you at a young age has been increasing anxiety and depression diagnoses within young people, which can make them worse off. So how does this tie into drugs, you may be asking? Substance use doesn't come from nothing. Teenagers, adolescents don't use substances for no reason. There is very often a reason behind their choice to start using substances. Peer pressure obviously is a big one, but it can also be conflicts at home, issues with parents, issues with just feeling awful. And all of these things can lead to an uprising, which we're seeing in drug use. This isn't to say that teens should use drugs. That's not good. But it isn't their fault. It isn't their fault that people are turning to this, and it can't be completely put on them as their burden. And now, introducing our wonderful guest speaker, Kath Adams. I just have a few questions for you.
Great. Well, thanks, Lou. That was a lot of good information. I really appreciate you doing all that research.
Thank you. It was a very fun time.
I'm sure it was.
So I just have a few questions for you.
Sure.
Kath, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Thank you, Lou, and thanks for having me. My name is Kath Adams, and I'm the founder of Aperture of Hope. And Aperture of Hope is an organization I put together, and it has grown quite a bit since the passing of my daughter Emily in 2020. We are advocacy in action. So we get kids involved. We get kids to share their voices, specifically around substance use and fentanyl, the fentanyl epidemic. So we provide creative outlets and other opportunities to show that they have meaning and purpose and that everyone's a gift in this world. We do a lot of public speaking events at our high schools. And I also am in the schools once a week, at least 3 classes in the Glenwood schools, just providing these creative outlets and giving people hope.
Absolutely. I see you all the time, and it's a wonderful experience. I thought you were one of the perfect people to ask for this because you do have such a history with teens and such a history with drug use in your own family and just issues with that in your general vicinity, I guess. Why do you see there being higher uses of drugs in the Valley and just amongst our youth? Why do you think this is happening more frequently?
That's a loaded question.
Oh, it is.
That has so much behind it. So just from my personal experience and my perspective, and at times I feel like sharing lived experiences that we gain throughout our journey in life is very crucial. It's essential.
Absolutely.
What I find bringing our teens closer to that, drug use, mental health, is digital devices.
Absolutely.
By far, digital devices. And why I'm saying that is because it creates isolation.
Absolutely.
Even though you have this whole world of knowledge in front of you, it's how you use that tool.
Exactly. Social media has been one of the biggest reasons for the rise in mental health crisis amongst teens, because they are having so much access to this information and are spending less time just connecting.
Exactly. And that's a big thing right there, is human connection. So we can be on our phones all day long, like I said, with the whole
Absolutely.
World right there, but we're empty.
There's nothing to it. It's just stimulus.
It is. So you started your conversation, your introduction, by mentioning politics, right?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We have access to that. We have access to all the political issues, social issues that are going on in this world.
It right? feels very big.
And how much of that is true? How much of that is cited? So we don't take that opportunity to find out ourselves.
Exactly. And that's, I think, one of the bigger issues that we're seeing as well, is that there is so much information and it does make you feel very isolated and feel very small. And these kids are given access to it at such a young age, where it is vital that they are getting socialization, and they are just suddenly lacking it.
Yeah. The thing that I see and I've witnessed that digital technology, social media in particular, you had raised the thought here, like, why has drug use increased? Well, through different social medias, platforms like Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, kids are getting access to drugs.
Oh, absolutely.
So when before all this social media, it was harder to get access to drugs. And also drugs, they're always dangerous, but they're not what they are now.
Yes.
Specifically fentanyl, you can take one pill, you don't know it's fentanyl, and you can pass away quickly. So the access to drugs has become more due to social media. You can purchase your drugs through Venmo and have it delivered right to your doorstep. How easy is that?
It's a terrifying thing. And I've spoken to some people who I will not name, who have found this access through social media and have gone to start using drugs as to cope with feeling empty and feeling alone. I know people who use drugs every single night because they feel there is no other way to make it through the night and to be able to go and just talk to somebody in the morning, and they just feel alone.
And that's another thing also, talking about time, right? Does that give you an idea, an essence of time, what you just mentioned? So people don't have time for each other anymore. When we pass each other in the streets, people aren't looking up. They aren't making eye contact and saying hi. So every time that I'm out, I always make sure I say hi to every person I pass. There's a lot of hi, how are you? But
you're building community.
You're building community. You're making that human connection. So when I go into my classes, I work with sixth grade all the way to seniors. When I go into these different classes, I make sure that I listen. I give them my time. We make this human connection. And I also provide a creative outlet. Share your voices. Mm-hmm. One class we made signs with words of kindness, and we stood out in front of the school and held these signs up to cars passing.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is connection, where signs say smile, I love you, be happy, whatever the kids wanted to make. So when they are creating that, when they are creating their own signs with their own imagination, that's accomplishment.
Absolutely.
But when you're on the internet and the social media or wherever you're going through is creating your imagination, is saying how you should be, what you should do, what you should wear, how you should talk, you're not that. The social media is defining you.
Exactly.
You're not going out and creating who you are. So I think all that contributes to.
Absolutely. I really like what you said about time specifically, because social media studies have shown that it does impact your perception of time, and it does change the way that people are able to process things, and it makes them more in need of a quick dopamine hit, which I think a lot of people have found through substances, and they like that hit, and it keeps them off their phones, which are often criticized in the household and seen as this terrible thing rather than being, how do we use this productively?
Exactly. And I think the more we reach out to people and just let them know that their time
matters,
exactly. And we're giving them that time. That's one of my huge pet peeves, actually, when someone says, I don't have time for this. We're all given the same, we're not all given the same amount of time, but we're all given time on this earth. It's up to you on how you're going to use it.
Exactly. And it all goes into time being a valuable thing and being a thing that you can never get back. So in kind of the thing of time, in what ways would you hope to see all of the work you're doing affect these people and get through to the adolescents, I guess, in such positions of being in poor mental health or being hard drug users or whatever it may be?
I find when I go in the classrooms and I initially present a project or what we're going to be doing, I give them ownership. So when I go into a class, I don't approach them like, okay, we're going to do photography and this is what you're going to do and this is how you're going to do it and you can't, you know, color outside the lines. I will come up with a music verse. And what do you think of that, and how can you create from there?
So you give them the foundation, and you want them to build from that.
Exactly. Because it's their project.
Yeah.
And that helps the creative imagination. I also really encourage getting outside every day and taking a walk, even if it's 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
And just relax. Listen to the sounds of nature.
I think mindfulness, especially in our psychology of leadership class, especially, we discuss mindfulness a lot, and we discuss how to build skills in order to keep yourself happy and keep yourself centered. Mm-hmm. I know there's people that I've met who have recovered from very hard drug use, and most of the way they found to do that is through things like meditation and yoga and just taking time to be mindful of their surroundings and be mindful of what it really is to be in the moment.
Exactly. And, you know, just having these creative outlets and being able to create with your own imagination. But when I go into these schools, I always mention to these kids, all of you have great purpose, have great meaning, and you're all a gift to this world. So let's find it out. Let's find out what you want to do. You don't have to do it forever. And I just feel like offering that time to them and letting them be the creators, it helps.
I think is an important part, because there are so many ways to use time that isn't productive, but you're offering them a pathway to do something that is productive in whatever way that may be through like mental stimulus and creativity.
Yeah, for instance, like our team jam sessions.
Oh, I love the team jam sessions. They're a great time.
That's a wonderful opportunity for you guys just to go up and play.
And just see what happens.
And share your music and then combined with other kids. And the thing is, when you're in that environment, you are doing you. You're not being dictated by social media on how you should do that, on what you should be playing, on how you should stand, so on and so forth.
It's I recommend it to anyone listening, because it is a very helpful thing to just be able to be in the moment and see those people being creative and doing what they love in a productive fashion and not using it to forward their own misery, I guess. I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of time pitying themselves and spend a lot of time just feeling horrible about themselves and wanting to change, but being willing to put zero effort in and having an unwillingness to grow in any fashion. And I think a lot of the work you're doing is trying to make sure people are willing to grow and make sure people can know how to make that change. And I think that's very admirable.
Great. I appreciate it. I'm offering them opportunities, but it's up to them
exactly
if they want to dive into that opportunity. And I think another eye-opener in reference to drug use, substance use, like no one ever dreams like, hey, I want to be, you know, I'm so happy I have the disease of addiction and this is what I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. No one ever wishes that upon themselves, and it happens. But when we share our life stories, when I go in and I share the story of my daughter, Emily, and it comes from the heart and it comes from lived experience and it's genuine, that right there really wakes up the kids and like, wow.
This actually happens.
This does happen. This does happen for someone that's walked in the same valley that you have.
Exactly.
And it's very real. So I think just sharing your lived experiences, and when we create opportunities for ourselves, when we go out and scroll out of our social media or scroll out of our phones, we create our lived experiences.
Absolutely.
And we have stories. Stories are shared generation from generation from generation.
Stories are the building block of our
exactly.
own society.
So what is your story?
That I think that's up to whoever's listening. How do you feel it is most productive to help somebody who might be struggling with substance abuse and is scared to ask for help, or might be struggling with their mental health and is scared to ask for help and reach out?
I would ask someone who is struggling to reach out to someone whom they trust, who will listen to them, but also understand they may not get the answer that they want. And that answer is you need to help yourself, and this is how it needs to go.
You have to help.
Because you have to take accountability, and it's not easy. You know, I can provide references for recovery homes, for local resources we have in our valley. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. But I think most importantly is just sitting down and listening to somebody.
I think that goes big, especially for teenagers, is that I've seen a lot of people struggle with reaching out for help because they feel like no one will listen and no one does care. And even if in actuality that isn't true, I think it can be especially hard for teenagers because there is such a negative viewpoint of those struggling with mental health as a teen and those struggling with drug use as a teen.
Well, you know what you just brought up? We need a resource for that.
We need a resource.
So how can we develop something where teens can come to us or to a counselor feeling safe and to bring up, hey, I'm not feeling safe myself. I'm having these issues, and it's really taken me on a downward spiral. How can I get help? There you go.
This is a great time to mention the suicide hotline, which is 988, as well as our Aspen Hope Center, which you can call at any time and are wonderful to chat with. I also want to mention for drug use, to find Narcan, you can find it in any of our libraries, any of our schools.
Rocky Mountain Harms Reduction.
That's
a big one.
All local in our valley, which can help you find Narcan and resources for drug use specifically, as well as suicidal ideation or just general mental health crisis. Again, a solid one is the Trevor Project, which you can all find these resources online. And if not, you can just walk into a local place and people know things.
Exactly. And also, I want to put it out there. My website, apertureofhope.com, has resources. We have videos, we have resources, we have information that is very vital if you're looking at getting help.
Absolutely. If it's not too much to ask, you've mentioned your daughter Emily a good amount. How did you see any warning signs in her mental health or in drug usage before her overdose?
Emily had the disease of addiction, mm-hmm. and school was challenging and rough for her socially, and that led up to the drug use. Mm. She knew it was getting bad, and we saw all the signs. They were pretty apparent, and she was losing a lot of weight.
Absolutely.
She basically looked like a skeleton, which was horrifying. We had an intervention with friends, And she took accountability and she admitted, I need help. I cannot survive here anymore. I do not want to do this, but I don't know how to get off of that. So long story short, she went to a teen challenge program in Arizona. She received the help. She later became the marketing and PR director at the Teen Challenge program. So she'd go on these trips promoting the program and letting people know all about this program. She later went to another rehab in the Phoenix area to work with them, not as a client, but to work with them and helping promote them. And they were they had another recovery home that they for women that they were opening up in Colorado City. So Emily was invited to go up there and help them establish that. After those, after working with those two recovery centers, she joined a men's recovery center. There were where people are recently released from prison, and it was a men's rehab center. It was 2020. She had a tooth pain. Her wisdom tooth was coming in, but it wasn't coming in healthy. And she couldn't get into the dentist because we're here at the height of 2020 and everyone's isolating. And someone from work said, well, I have a Percocet that will help that pain. And she received, she paid and she received the Percocet, and it was fentanyl. So she was not in active use when she took this pill. The mistake that happened was she got this pill off the street. So my word to everybody, please do not take prescription pills or don't buy anything. Just don't buy anything off the street.
Nothing off the street.
If it's not prescribed from you with your doctor's name, don't take it. And don't share your prescription pills.
Absolutely.
And she died and she passed away from cardiac arrest.
Well, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. There's never a reliable source.
There's never a reliable source.
And that's why, you know, with these test kits.
Use a test kit.
And they're not even.
They're not necessarily.
Nothing's 100%.
Nothing's completely reliable.
But there's a lot of resources here in our valley. And I think the best thing that you can do is look someone in the eye, say hi, and ask them how they're doing.
Be a friendly neighbor.
Exactly.
And I just have one more question for you. Is there anything you wish I asked or want to add?
I feel like you've done an amazing job.
Thank you.
You've asked a lot of great questions. And what's really nice about it is coming from a teen.
Absolutely.
So the questions that I get from you are very insightful, more so than I would get from an adult, because I need to know where you guys are coming from. That helps me help you.
Absolutely.
Right? But the important thing right now is to reach out.
Please.
Reach out with
ask for help.
Anything. And if I don't have the answer,
we can find somebody who does.
You know? Because no one ever has all the answers. But yes, definitely just reach out and go outside and enjoy this beautiful world that we have. Yes, there's so many things going on in this world, and it's so, so, so complicated. But there's also beauty that's going on, too. And we need to focus on that as much.
Absolutely. The world is a beautiful place. Go out, see it, experience it, stay in the moment. Again, to tie back into my civic leadership project, which this is, be mindful. Go outside, meditate maybe, go on a run. Find out what works for you. Just be a human being. Find the humanities. Thank you so much for listening. Again, this is the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, playing on KD&K Public Radio. This has been a discussion on teen mental health and drug use with Kath Adams, which thank you for coming on, and Lou Gall. Kath, take it away.
Thanks for having me, Lou.
I really appreciate it.
This has been a great conversation. I look forward to many more.
fantabulous. That's all we have for you. Thank you so much.